It's podcast time on XFM, the breakfast show, best bits are in. Lots of chat and interviews and less bits with Matt Dyson. Breakfast XFM, it's Danny with Specs on XFM.
It's Danny.
It's Breakfast XFM.
It's Danny.
Yes, we are XFM.
Danny Wallace.
Hello there, welcome to podcast 69 from the XFM Breakfast Show with me, Danny Wallace. Matt, give me all your thoughts, all of them, all at once.
69 podcasts, eh? What a landmark. Nearly at 70.
Nearly 70 now, isn't it?
Yeah, they really are dragging on, aren't they? They really are.
Flying by.
Forced to be reckoned with, aren't they?
In what way, Matt?
Just because there's so many of
them, aren't there?
Yeah, a real delve back into our archive, isn't it?
And what else about the podcast appeals to you?
It's a rich tapestry, isn't it? It's like an art house.
Lots of stuff in them, aren't there? Give me three of the things that you enjoy from this podcast coming up.
Kevin Bridges,
the Scottish comedian, of course.
What else happened? There's other things, isn't there? Ben Elton as well.
Yeah, what else, Matt?
I've always been a big fan of Ben.
Big fan of him. What else?
There was a quiz face, of course.
That's right, here it is.
Yes, we are XFM. Danny Wallace.
Goodness me, is winter here. It's cold outside, isn't it?
It is, isn't it?
November's just decided to kick in.
Yeah, dark and cold.
Dark and cold. Leicester Square lit only by the kind of the phone lights of some Twilight fans.
Oh, yes.
Who are already camping. Out in Leicester Square, it's freezing.
I wonder which that one was for this morning. Is it Twilight?
It's Twilight. And there's guys camping outside.
Yeah.
And it's not till Wednesday night.
What?
That's correct.
They're here already.
That's what I've heard.
No.
They're here already.
Oh, heavens.
There'll be space. You'll be fine. sort of Wednesday afternoon turn up.
I know. I was thinking as I walked past them this morning, if you think we're annoyed by these people on the way to it, imagine how homeless people feel, right? They're, you fancy sleeping rough for the night, do you? In your posh sleeping bag.
Maybe see Kristen Stewart or whoever it is. Enjoy it.
Yeah.
Man. Well, we do this every day. Yes, exactly. Well, Dave has come prepared for the weather. As you noted when you walked in, you've got your Christmas jumper on already.
Certainly my winter jumper is on.
Are you feeling quite Christmassy? Is that what's going on already?
Not yet. There's no snowflakes on it or Christmas trees. It is merely a winter jumper.
Oh, I see.
There's a difference. I'll talk you both through it off air.
Great. So you have what? Do you order your jumpers in terms of season and then specific events, like a subsection within your jumper collection?
Yes. Yeah, so you saw me in my mesh vest all through summer. And then autumnal, I obviously just went through the browns.
And now
I'm into my winter jumpers.
Great. Man, that must be exciting for you to get into that.
It's great because I dress as Santa throughout the whole of December, so you'll look forward to that as well.
I can't wait. I went to a Christmas fair, I suppose it is, yesterday, in a big centre. My wife wanted to go, and I couldn't let her go alone, you know, just with the toddler. And we went, and it was... I was probably one of about 11 men in a room of about 1,000 people. It just happened to sort of fall that way. And it's basically just knickknacks and trinkets. It's a massive play. It was a bit depressing in a sense. So I run off with my infant son. And obviously it being the 11th of the 11th, and it was approaching 11, it had kind of slipped my mind during this Christmas, shamefully slipped my mind for a moment, that it was the minute silence was coming up, you know, to honour the fallen and everything like that. The whole place just went quiet. The whole place was very eerie. But try explaining that to a little boy. Why have the grown-ups suddenly gone really, really quiet? And it was the tensest minute of my life, just hoping my infant son wouldn't suddenly start kicking off or just shouting, why are you all so quiet?
Or start singing an XFM hit.
Yeah, exactly. But on that note, he saw Dave here yesterday, and Dave walked into my house, dropped something off, and how did my infant son greet you?
He just went, hello, baby Dave.
Isn't that nice? Oh. He just thinks of Dave as a big baby. You go to bed earlier than my infant son. That's the kind of strange thing.
Even your infant son wouldn't wear a Christmas jumper like that.
He would if I had anything to do with it. I think it's great. We are... Now, you may have heard about, a lot of the controversy recently, Matt.
Yeah.
It's been in the papers and stuff. Jerry Paxman, BBC.
Mm. Oh, right, yeah.
You know, it's all to do with... Not that whole thing. Oh, no, a different one. It's all to do with the Prince of Wales. There was a rumour saying that he has 7 boiled eggs cooked for him at breakfast every morning. but it only eats one.
Oh, yeah? Wow.
Now, Paxman, Newsnight presenter, who knows how that's going to go, made the original claims in his book On Royalty, which was published in 2006. And he wrote it, this story. It said it came from one of the prince's friends. And after a day's hunting, the Prince of Wales liked to have a boiled egg, but he was so particular about the firmness of the yolk that he had his staff provide 7 eggs, numbered according to cooking time, so that he could sample each one and select according to preferred hardness.
Oh, I like it, yeah.
Now, you think it's a wonderful system if you can afford it. If you can afford...
I mean, in these times of food waste being a big problem, maybe it's not so good.
It's a 7-egg system.
But yeah.
But
yeah,
why not? Like why not? Yeah, yeah. However, this rumour has become so rife that just recently they had to add it to his FAQs on his official website, on the Prince's website. And it's like the second question. Does the Prince of Wales time? And they've had to do it. It's just popped up on his FAQ.
A lot of rumours about him.
They swirl, don't they? The rumour mill. Yeah. So it got me thinking, what else? How else can we help out Prince Charles this morning? What other rumours can we put to bed and for all here on the XFM Breakfast Show? So, if you've got this thing that's been bothering you about Charles, just send it to us, 83936, and we will dispel that rumour. For example, Matt, you've often said something bothers you about
the monarch. one of my sources at Clarence House told me this. I heard that Prince Charles won't go swimming in a public baths unless everyone else in there wears veruca socks, nose clips and purple trunks.
Is that right?
Yes, yeah.
Is that right?
But specific requirements.
I can tell you that's not true.
Well, it's not true. No,
it's not true.
He is a natural in the water, though.
He is. No, he's a wonderful
very good
swimmer.
Butterfly.
Wonderful
minimal
butterfly.
Splash.
Great technique. Yeah. You know the rumour I told you about Prince Charles, that he makes his own lampshades out of coconuts?
Oh, yeah.
And in every room in St. James's Palace, it's just coconut lampshade after coconut lampshade. Yeah. And they have to just clear up, don't they, before the visiting dignitaries get in there and hide all the... But they have to tell him. No, they love the... What did they think of the coconut lampshades? Oh, it was wonderful, yeah. And he thinks that if he wasn't a royal, he'd be appreciated as the country's best coconut lampshade maker, doesn't he? Yeah, but because he's a prince, it's been holding him back, and he's like, people will take against them, we'll just pretend. And do you know how he sometimes drives slowly past sort of early morning car boot sales in his estate, right? Yeah. And it's just packed with coconut lampshades, and he's just trying to build up the confidence to set up his coconut stall. And that's actually what they talk about when they talk about the estate of Prince Charles. It's just an estate car, just packed with coconut lampshades. It's not true. It's not.
Quash
it's,
that.
Quash that rumour. Take it and quash it. Stop it swirling.
We are XFM.
Well, Essex girls, if you're an Essex girl, maybe up your standards. Huh? Essex girls are the easiest to chat up, it says here.
Oh, what?
Yes. What's going on there? But then it really goes into it more, and I think all it means is they're the friendliest. The friendliest people.
Right.
Manchester girls, Dave.
Yeah?
Not very friendly, it seems.
Really?
Ooh. Rebuffing men left, right and centre.
No, that's not true.
Rebuffing them hither and thither.
That's not true.
What's wrong with them?
We're a friendly bunch.
Really?
I was there just yesterday, chatting away to strangers on trams and whatnot. You don't get that in London.
They pride themselves on that, don't they?
Yeah, we do. Yeah,
really?
Talking to strangers.
Is that the big thing? Is that the big thing?
You make it sound weird. It's, you know, if there's a reason to talk, we'll talk. We won't just start rabbiting on for no apparent.
Well, what was the reason to talk to someone on a tram? Oh, well, we're on a tram, everybody.
No.
Toddler.
I'd left my bag next to me and I had to move it to let someone else sit down, so I can't remember.
So you just thought I'd just rock up a conversation. Let's talk about this.
Yeah.
Let's talk about my bag.
We started chatting about my bag.
Yeah, and what was this person's opinion on your bag?
I think I just said something like, how rude of me, I'm so sorry, because there was only one seat left and it was the one next to me. And I think I said something like, oh, don't you hate it when people leave bags on chairs, meaning that no one can sit down?
What you should have done there is then announced your phone number to the entire carriage, and you could have done your own texter throughout the day. Don't you just hate it when people leave a bag on the spare chair? Anyway, 07738.
We are XFM.
Guess who's arrived in the studio? It's this man.
To stop people slipping into depression, David Cameron said about work experience programmes, Pound Stretcher. They were one of the first shops to sign up to these programmes. Working in Pound Stretcher for no wages, that's pretty f***ing depressing. Working in a shop where everything is worth a quid except you.
Kevin Bridges is here! Hello.
Thank you.
How are you, Kevin?
I'm good. I sound quite angry.
You do.
That wee clip there.
I know. It's kind of, it just sounded like a man just shouting at people.
Blustering social comment, the fire in my belly there.
Yeah, exactly. The passion in your eyes. How are you doing, Kevin?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm very well, yeah. It's good to see you again. Exciting times for you. Man, just everything's happening.
That's it. I had a birthday and everything yesterday.
Yeah, and a birthday. I've just tapped my microphone.
Oh.
Better. Just a little insight into studio etiquette there, Kevin. So you had your birthday yesterday.
I was gigging in Oxford last night. See, I'm still on tour.
Still on tour, yeah, absolutely.
Had 2,000 people singing happy birthday to me last night at the end of the gig.
It's hard enough when your family does it.
It makes you feel quite self-conscious, that song.
Well, especially you on a stage with a spotlight on you.
Exactly.
What did you put your hands in?
You just need to stand smiling, feeling awkward.
Right, good. What did you say straight after?
I don't know what I said.
Because it'd be hard to segue into the pound
stretcher
thing. I
mentioned how awkward it felt. But in a sort of thank you way, I wasn't like having a dig at the audience. I was quite flattered, quite touched.
That's nice.
They had all went on Wikipedia before the gig.
All of them together.
Obviously, word had spread. Somebody had on Wikipedia, told somebody else it was my birthday, and then...
And it just happened.
In Oxford, of all places, I thought it'd be quite reserved.
Yeah? And how old are you now?
I'm 26.
26? The guy's filling arenas, he's got best-selling DVDs, you broke another record over the weekend, didn't you? Wasn't it, you were doing a DVD signing, and you always worry doing, like, signings and stuff, that no one's going to turn up, there's always that paranoia. Not so for you, in your hometown of Glasgow.
I've got a lot of family.
A lot of mates. 1,000 people turned up.
I read that somewhere.
Well, you were there as well.
I suppose I was actually there, but I read it was a record somewhere.
Do you sometimes just read about things that have happened to you? Is it your diary?
I think it was my dad who texted me saying it's a record, apparently, and he sent me a link.
Yeah?
He just sits Googling me. He's a super fan.
It's pretty huge. It's the most people that have turned up to a DVD signing for a comedian,
right?
You know, ever.
An HMV spokesman said it was as if Justin Bieber was in.
Do you see yourself as comedy's Justin Bieber? You're a young man.
Do I look like comedy's Justin Bieber?
You're on tour at the minute. You've got another sort of 20 dates to go. December 8th. How many will you have ended up doing on this tour?
I've been on tour since the 1st of June.
Wow.
It's pretty much been every night.
Well,
I'm just saying that. No, I had a week off in August.
Okay. Bit too specific.
I think about 160 odd tour dates at least.
160. So that's half the year, 6 months or so.
Pretty much.
What are you going to do with yourself after this?
I'm going to Lapland.
Are you?
In December the 15th. Going to wait for 5 days.
That's the country, not a club of some kind.
It's not a strip club. So I'm going there for 5 days. And then next year I'm going to take about 3 months off to go travelling.
Are you?
Because as you say, 26, and I've done these two big tours now, so you start to run out of stuff to talk about.
So you're going to have to find stories.
I need to go travelling and find myself.
Where are you going to go travelling?
Backpacking. Who knows? I'm not going to go backpacking. I'm going to go to fancy hotels. And I don't know, South America, I quite fancy.
South America? Just padding about South America?
Aye, well, I'm planning about 3 or 4 trips, so I'll maybe take my girlfriend to somewhere, take a bunch of my mates somewhere. And then, I think South America, I might do that on my own.
South America,
I'm a big fan of Banged Up Abroad, so that could be my next big TV.
Well, I was going to compare it to some kind of Michael Palin thing, but we found your level with Banged Up Abroad. Dave, in fact, here was on Booze Britain Binge Nation 3, weren't you?
Yeah, Binge Nation 2, yes.
Sorry, yeah, that was the better one.
Yeah, it was the better one, yeah, going around Sheffield.
It lost it after that, didn't it? Yeah.
We are
XFM. I asked you this morning for your rumours about Prince Charles. There's so many rumours that I'd never heard before.
Yeah.
It's a world of rumour and speculation, isn't it? And this is all because on his official website, he's been moved to answer the question, do you have 7 boiled eggs cooked for you every single morning, implement a rudimentary numbering system, and then choose one based on the firmness you fancy that morning? The answer is no, according to his actual website. But my goodness me, Matthew Dyson, what other rumours can we put to bed this morning?
Is it true, asks confirmed listener Brad Acton from Thurrock, that our beloved prince has, amongst his private collection of paperwork, the original patents, drawings and designs for the question mark we all know and love?
I've heard that rumour.
Yeah, according to Brad's source, Panorama, it has a coffee stain on it.
I can reveal, Matt, it's not true.
It's not true.
Myth dispelled.
Did not invent the question mark.
Billericky Pete says, I heard that Prince Charles, when in private, wears only purple and forces Camilla to wear a raspberry beret. He's been doing this since 1999, apparently. Now, is that true, Matt?
It's not true.
It's not true.
Your Majesty. don't.
Well, man, just don't, exactly. Mark in Muswell Hill says, guys, is this true? I heard that Prince Charles needs someone with him at all times because he can't tell the difference between up and down. Is this true? Matt, is that true?
That's not true.
That's not true, no.
No.
No, myth dispelled. White Van Tony says, did I read somewhere, guys, that Prince Charles has the largest collection of Crocs in Europe? you know the rubber footwear? And he makes all of Camilla's roll-ups while they watch the Hollyoaks omnibus on a Sunday. Is that true, Matt?
It is a falsehood,
sir. Wonderful it's image, but it's
your royal deniness.
Royal deniness.
Mark in Sunbury says the rubber fancy dress masks of Prince Charles that you get in fancy dress shops.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that.
I've heard they're actually made from an actual plaster mould of his face.
I see.
Is that true?
I don't believe it's true.
Myth dispelled.
Mike in Crouch End. What have you heard?
I heard that Prince Charles wrote all the 1990s Metallica songs. Well, it's simply not true. It was Princess Michael of Kent.
Princess
that
Michael
woman
of Kent.
Has a wonderful sense of rhythm.
Wonderful sense of rhythm, doesn't she? Yes. Stuart in Reading says, is it true, guys, that Prince Charles refuses to have any ginger in gingerbread men and instead always substitutes ginger with thyme? He calls them thyme men. Is that true, Matt? Have you heard that?
No,
it's not true, is it?
Untrue, sire.
Untrue, sire. What else, Matt?
Anonymous says, you know the rumour that whenever Prince Charles visits Buckingham Palace, he puts moustaches, goggles and tiny parachutes on his mother's corgis and then proceeds to throw them off the roof to watch them float down like a child's action man with a Tesco's bag.
Yeah. Is that true? I don't believe that's true. No,
you're
it wasn't.
You're living in a dream world.
You are, I'm afraid. Yeah, it did circulate, didn't it? And swirled out
for a while.
Is it true that Prince Charles is the faceless street artist Banksy? No. Jack wants to know, is it true that when Prince Charles broke his left arm after an incident with a swan, he tried to get his plaster cast signed by the cast of The Bill? No, that's incorrect also.
No.
Ben from Bracknell says, I heard that Prince Charles still likes to make pictures out of macaroni and glue. Stick them on the Buckingham Palace fridge, and he needs to hear how good they are from both Liz and Phil, or he gets depressed. Is that true, says Ben?
That's not true.
Myth dispelled.
Yeah, Dave in Essex, what do you want to say?
Is it true that Prince Charles is going to star in the movie Elf 2?
It did swirl. That was in the rumour, Bill, but that is not true, no.
No.
Finally, Joe from Dartford, who's at a field day this morning, most of which we can't read out for legal reasons, just says, is it true, guys, that Prince Charles had a plaque made that simply bore the words, the Queen used to wipe my bottom? Is that true?
That's true. Bro.
That seems to be true.
Myth dispelled.
Not true, I mean, yeah.
We are... XFM.
I would imagine you are not in the no biz. You're in the I don't know biz. What do I say? Let me show you my business.
Oh. There's only so many variations, isn't there?
I know, I'm trying. I try and liven it up. And I was like, I've said those words, but I haven't said these words. What are the other words that I say sometimes? Do apologise. So it's my showbiz update. And if you're near a water cooler, if you've got access to a water cooler, maybe there's a water cooler in a building adjacent to yours. For God's sake, get to it. Get to that water cooler now. Take the radio with you. I'll give you a few moments to organise yourselves. Maybe take someone with you. Get to that water cooler.
Yeah.
Start discussing this. Talisa has said that Jermaine from X Factor is unlikely to make it as a pop star.
You are sh**ing me.
I'm not. Undermines the show a bit, doesn't it? Just a little bit. Poor Jermaine, you know, because Talisa's probably, I'd say probably the best pop star we've got.
Yeah.
You say
she's
that.
She's got a massive career behind her.
All the pop star, out of all the pop stars, who's at the top of the tree, at the top of the pop star pyramid, as I call it?
Well, it's Talisa.
Look, let me show you my pop star pyramid. See? Look at that. There's a base there of maybe 40 or 50 names that I just put together. Moving up the pyramid towards the centre, you've got Robbie in the middle. Yeah. And then at the top, who you got?
Well, just above Madonna, actually, surprisingly, is Talisa.
Talisa from N-Dubs. One of the best ones. So don't worry, Jermaine, that's all I'm saying. Taylor Swift is a huge fan of David Dickinson. That's what the papers say. Before immediately saying she doesn't know who he is. It's a very unusual story.
Yeah.
It sold us. She's a massive fan of David Dickinson. She doesn't know who he is.
You couldn't make it up.
Come on, Gordon. Chris Martin warms up for gigs by pretending he's Rocky. It's nice. Oh. Katy Perry spent £200 on some Y fronts with Barack Obama's face on and then gave them to Barack Obama. At no point thinking, oh, I probably shouldn't have bought these for him. Oh, I'll give them to anyway. What do you say when you get there? Nicole Scherzinger has told Lewis Hamilton what she wants for Christmas. Do you know what she wants?
What does she want, Danny?
A car and some diamonds.
Come off it.
Straight to the point. Low maintenance. That's what we like, isn't it? Jenny McCarthy, the model, said she once took some bad medication and attempted to have relations with a tree near a beach.
Some bad medication.
Ruffelcopter.
I've changed it to bad medication.
I like it.
But it was near a beach, so at least it was a romantic location. If you're going to, you know, crack on, you know, with a tree, may as well pop it near a beach.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Seems perfect.
Better than a park, I suppose.
Much better than a park. Yeah. Rihanna update, wardrobe-wise. Stockings and a cape. Elton John glasses, elbow-length lace gloves, unusual shoes. Jermaine Jackson, father, of course, of Your Majesty Jackson, is planning on changing his surname from Jackson to Jackson.
Very slightly.
Yeah, Jack S-U-N, Jackson. And he's applied to do it. He's got to go in front of a judge. What's the point of that?
I don't understand it. I don't know what difference it makes.
If anything, I'd be saying, can I not just change the name Your Majesty?
Yeah.
Can I not do that? Can I take that back? Craig Revel Horwood says that the judges on X Factor are only in it for the money.
Gazooks.
Oh, no way.
Unlike well-known. Craig Revel Horwood does his job for free.
Yeah.
Whenever it's contract negotiation time, he's like, no, nothing for me, thanks. I do this for the kids. Well, the celebrities mainly, isn't it? I once sat next to him on a long, long journey. It wasn't long because I was next to Craig, obviously, right. No. It was a New Zealand trip, and he was just over there somewhere. And he got talking to some people who had seen him on Strictly Come Dancing New Zealand. And they were talking to him for quite a long time. And I think it was like holiday friends for him on board this plane. He was talking to them, quite happy to talk to them. But then when they wanted to take the relationship further, not so keen. Oh. And the plane's landing, and they're going, so we should meet up in London. And he's like, yeah, we should do that. And they go, well, how do we get in touch with you? He's like, oh, you know. And I can tell he's thinking, you know, well, if it's meant to be.
Yeah.
And they go, well, can we get your number? And he goes, honestly, just Google my name. It's all on there. Just Google my name. As if you're going to Google his name, his number comes up. Oh, I think they realised.
Google my name.
Molly from the Saturdays is back in the UK. She's arrived at Heathrow carrying a guitar case. Does she play the guitar? I don't know. I might market suitcases which look like guitar cases. So you can always pretend you're in a band when you're landing.
That's quite a good idea.
It's not a bad idea, is it? Not a bad idea. Sounds like I'm implying the Saturdays are not a real band. I'm not doing that, for God's sakes. And finally, spotted Kate Middleton with a dog. And that is genuinely page one of the Daily Mail. Page one for a spotted story. The world has ended. It's over.
XFM. We are XFM.
Kevin Bridges. And the new DVD, The Story Continues, is out now. And you recorded it in Glasgow.
In the SCCC in Glasgow.
It's a huge venue.
It's 10,000 people.
10,000?
I know.
And no spare seats.
I don't think so. No, it was sold out. We've done nine nights there.
Nine nights?
Aye, we tried to get the 10th night, but Rihanna was on or something like
that. Yeah.
So, couldn't get her to cancel.
It must be hard for you to kind of walk around Glasgow at the moment, because you sort of represent Glasgow in such a... through and through, you're a Glaswegian.
I live in the nice bit now.
Do you? And what do other Glaswegians make of that?
I know, you're on stage talking about all the nutters and sociopaths, and then I'll go back to my fancy street with the leaves on the pavement. And
leaves on the pavement now?
I don't even know why I said that.
I love that.
Is that
Kevin,
even something that's synonymous with a nice area?
Kevin's idea of riches and success is living on a street where there are leaves.
The last time I was home, I just remember I was thinking, oh, wow, there's a lot of leaves on the pavement. I don't know if that makes it an affluent area. Who knows?
It's an unusual observation. You know, it's one that
you've made it in my book. Leaves on the pavement.
Just leaves on the pavement.
You don't have the council coming to sweep them up. They leave them there because it's natural.
It's just natural. It's organic. It's organic. Fair trade leaves. Is it hard for you to walk around Glasgow now?
People always come up and they're always friendly though. So it's not like you get any hassle or anything. They're always just coming up to say, I like your stuff and all that.
Yeah.
Nah, it's all right. But, well, I think when you're a comedian, you don't quite have the mass hysteria. Like bands or whatever, or actors and that. People are always pretty cool. Nobody can work their camera phones.
No?
Nobody can work their camera phones.
Oh, right.
No, they always come up. You'll get it as well. Shortlist Danny
people,
Wallace.
People come up and then, can I just take a picture? And then, settings. But, you know, you roll with the punches, Kevin. That's what happens.
On your 7-second videos.
Yes. On your DVD, you're wearing a full black suit, black shirt. On the back, I've never seen a man who looks like he belongs in The Sopranos as much as you. Honestly, you're a slightly sinister figure, and I enjoy the fact that every now and again, I've noticed that you call your friends, your mates back home, your associates.
Yes.
That's one of my favourite things that any comedian said. Just describing you arriving at like an Indian restaurant or something at midnight after you've been out to the pub and it's you and your associates.
I think it's about learning Spanish. I've been meeting three associates.
Walking.
Just said that joke again. It feels weird saying the words because they're on the DVD.
Yeah, exactly. He won't perform it live. He will only do it on the DVD.
Right. It's me, Paulie, Silvio.
Exactly. Well, it's out now. Kevin Bridges, the story continues. It looks set to sell loads and loads and loads. The perfect Christmas present, we would say. And how are you spending Christmas?
My mum's actually on my case. She does not fancy cooking this year.
Uh-huh.
She says it's too stressful.
Right.
And she's 60 in April, so she's on my case to try and call in a favour.
What's that got to do with Christmas?
Which that's what she said to me. She's 60 in April. She's feeling a bit overwhelmed by the idea of having to cook for everybody.
Oh, man.
So she's got to dine it.
She's going to be using this for the next however many years, you know. Oh, well, I'm 61 in April. I'll be 63. I can't possibly do that. Well, you can cook for her in your fancy pad covered in leaves.
I can't cook, so she's asked me to get a restaurant somewhere. So let me go, I can put a plea at any Glasgow restaurant owners.
Yeah.
Table for four for me and three associates.
The associates are so happening. XFM. Well, I'm concerned this morning. I have concern, deep concern.
Uh-huh.
See if you can work out why. See if you can see what seems to link these things. Well, a granny, a little granny, an 86-year-old granny, in a mobility scooter. See, sir, it becomes even more sympathetic, doesn't it? She's been attacked by a mad ferret. Just a ferret just decided he wanted to lift to the shops. And the animal hopped aboard. She tried to shoo it away, didn't she, this ferret? I mean, and then she's going crazy on the mobility scooter. She's trying to steer. But she just clamps onto the mobility scooter.
Oh, nice.
Won't let go. The OAP had to batter it over the head repeatedly with a walking stick, like something out of Last of the Summer Wine, before it finally fled. It's not the first time we've heard about one of these ferrets, is
no,
it?
No, absolutely
what
not.
Happened to you?
Well, ferrets can be tricky little blighters. And when I was about 8 or 9, yeah. I was holding a ferret, and it scuppered up the front of my jumper.
It did, didn't it?
And just clamped on to the front of my nose, and I've still got a little scar on the top of my nose from where it wouldn't let go.
A ferret scuppered up his jumper?
Yeah.
Clamped onto his nose, wouldn't let go?
Tricky little blighters.
What's going on? Was he trying to get a lift somewhere, like with this one?
Maybe, yeah.
Who knows? And then there's a cat. A cat behind a crime wave that's terrorised a village where he lives for years. And finally, he's been slapped with the feline equivalent of an Asbo. His name's Oscar. You wouldn't expect it of an Oscar, would you?
Yeah, no
way. It's a posh, very posh name.
Yeah.
Expect Oscar to be sitting on like a velvet cushion, something like that. You know, having stuff brought to him. Not
eating fancy cat food.
Eating fancy cat food. But no. He's been given a feline Asbo. And he's been given a dose of herbal therapy. And put under house arrest in a bid to mend his evil ways. Just kept him. They dose him up. They keep him docile on flower essences. They just keep him. And his bad boy antics include being reported to police for fighting dogs.
Oh,
he's off the rails, this guy. He steals neighbours' food. He once put a man in hospital for a week. This is a bad cat.
Yeah.
They called him the Lion Cat of Wingrave.
It's a good nickname.
It's a good nickname. So you got a ferret there. You got a cat as well. It's up the ante. 50 wild elephants went on a drunken rampage after downing 18 containers of something called Mawa. That's a powerful alcoholic brew. It's in India. And it says they were drunk and disorderly. I like that, but I'll avoid that pun. They ransacked a shop, 3 houses. They ruined some crops in this village. And police say they downed more than 500 litres of moonshine before just going crazy. They had a bad vat of wine, didn't they, these guys?
Yeah, they did.
So you've got wild elephants, you've got ferrets, you've got cats, and I've noticed that things are happening. Someone's just texted in just saying, the animals are turning on us. You're quite right, because yesterday,
yes, absolutely.
My infant son And his biological mother, my current wife, got back from the park. And he's got like a little lunchbox. It's kind of a sort of a fabric-y type thing. You know how they make those bags for life? It's kind of that kind of thing. And a squirrel had attacked that bag in a bid to get to my infant son's sandwiches. And when I heard this, I was like, oh, well, you know, squirrels. He tore the thing apart.
No way.
What's going on?
What is going on?
I'll tell you what's going on. The animals are rising up. The animals are rising up. It's just a matter of time, wasn't it, before they got their act together?
Yeah.
I always thought it would be the machines first. But no, it's the animals. I suppose in a sort of evolutionary way, that works. That works. I understand it. So I'm going to ask you, ladies and gents, to keep your eye out this morning, to let us know what's going on out there. 83936, the animals are clearly rising up against us. What have you seen? Report it here. This is the hub of, I guess, Animal Watch in some way. So Matt, I mean, have you got any tips for us?
Well, we've heard a lot about urban foxes recently.
Yes!
From the pulp keyboard player, having them raid her house in Stoke Newington.
Yes!
Stealing all her shoes.
Yes!
Kelly from Block Party hanging out with them of an evening. A couple of years ago in Tooting, one was terrorising my street.
What?
And someone had to send out letters saying
not
that
the Tooting fox.
They were being mugged by a fox.
Mugged by a fox. Exactly! That's Tooting for you.
Yeah.
Dave, what have you got?
Well, next door neighbour's cat undertook a dirty protest on my back door.
Really? What was he protesting?
I'm not too sure because
minimum wage.
You can't. He can't speak yet, but that's only a matter of time as well, Danny.
Isn't it?
In my opinion.
Yeah.
He pooed on my wellies.
Oh, Dave, I'm so sorry.
That's right.
That's how it starts, isn't it? That's how it starts. A minor revolution. Mm. You mentioned urban foxes there, Matt, and actually that reminds me that an urban fox actually glanced at me as I left my house this morning. And it was a glance that I think I could sum up by saying it was at once patronising and menacing, right? I hate it when you get patronised by an urban fox. You know, they look at you as a show, they look at you. It's like a soulful melancholy, I suppose, that betrayed his masculine walk. It was a look, Matt, that said, yeah, I know where you live. Yeah, and I know where your bins are. And Friday night, as you know, is curry night at the Wallace House, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I think it was a look that also said, expect to find a half-eaten booner on your doorstep tomorrow after I tear through your rubbish. Expect to be picking up popper dye for weeks. And I bet he says weeks as well.
Yeah.
He's a sinister fox.
Sly old thing.
It's his street now.
XFM.
The Kardashians are going to be in the building today. Do you know that? The Kardashians are going to be here.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Not doing anything for XFM, I think, but for one of the other stations here.
We should try and get something.
Should we?
Yeah.
Really?
I don't know what, but
well,
it could be a nice little challenge for work experience.
Steve. Final showbiz story for you. Brian Adams has tweeted the news he's expecting his second child with his assistant, Alicia Grimaldi. I would have gone with partner or significant other. Yeah. You know what I mean? Assistant seems.
He's
if you're going to tweet about
that.
It. Yeah. Right. Just let you know, I'm expecting another child with my assistant.
XFM.
Morning, you with the XFM Breakfast Show with me, Danny Wallace, and I am pleased to say we are joined here for the important broadcast by the magnificent Australian comedian Brendan Burns is here.
Thank you very much.
Hello, Brendan.
Thank you.
How are you?
I'm very sleepy.
Are you?
I'm very sleepy and I'm a bit spun out. Just last night I did my first gig with a hearing aid.
Is that right?
Last night was the first night I've heard my voice come out of speakers.
You're kidding.
It was hysterical. I didn't know how deaf I was until I just got these put in.
So had you always walked off stage going, they're a bit quiet tonight?
In Edinburgh, the Edinburgh Festival, I said to my producer, like, about every second night, I was like, they were dead tonight. And they were like, what are you talking about? You were smashing it.
Yeah.
And I was like, not unbeknownst to me. But last night, it was as if there was 100 Perspex pipes going directly from everyone's mouths, because now it's hearing
100 Perspex pipes, each leading from a mouth to your ear.
Directly into my skull.
No.
So it was like, so during the whole gig, I heard this noise, like, right next to my ear, just...
Wow.
And I kept on giggling because you've got this rather silly, this silly voice in your head.
Yeah. Is it a bit like the beginning of a superhero film when you start to sense your powers?
Well, this is how we discovered was because I went to the audiologist. He said, you probably have a virus when you're about 6 or 7. You've been like this your entire life.
Yeah.
But you've had nothing to compare it to.
Yeah.
And you've unconsciously learned to lip read.
Wow.
And I was like, ooh. What? Really?
There's no way, so I'd love to test it.
Well, here we go. I will mouth something. The listeners won't be able to hear it, but you will essentially be my mouthpiece for the moment.
Well, okay, well, to verify it, shall you write it down first?
Okay. Yes.
If we're going to do an experiment.
If we're going to do an experiment, I'll do three sentences and we'll do live lip reading on the radio. One of the most pointless things you can do on the radio.
Okay, let's have a look. Right. I've not tested this yet.
I'll give it to Matt. I'll give it to Matt.
Myself. Independent adjudicator.
That was it. That's what I just did.
That was very fast.
I'll slow it down.
Coming up, the Heels.
The Killers! Ooh, but we could play the Heels. It sounds like a student band.
I don't know. Wow. Hang on.
What was that?
That was, do you want to go to my room right now?
Oh, you should know the rules by now.
I'm pretty close.
Yeah, and finally.
That was tough. I don't know. I'm sorry. Oh.
Matt, reveal all.
Welcome to the important broadcast.
Brendan Burns, you know, I think you're in trouble. but tell me about the show then, quickly.
Oh, okay. It's about the glory of middle age from an ex-rock and roll comic. The premise basically being that you get to a certain age. It's called Home Stretch, Baby. And everyone thinks it's the home stretch to death.
Right.
But it's not. It's that you get to a certain age where you realize that everything that's happened in your life that at the time seemed like an impenetrable prism of agony and despair, that you realise, hey, there's nothing I won't get over, and actually get it so over that eventually it'll become comic.
Yeah.
So I tell all these rather heavy stories, but tone is everything.
Yeah, no.
Because if I don't get the tone right, people are just like, no, you're going to be okay.
Yeah.
And yeah, I love the show. It's been going great. And
is it your favourite one that you've done so far? Do you feel...
Everyone says this is the best one since the award.
Right, of course, yes. You won the Foster's Comedy Award
the award-winning show. And it is very... very bizarre hearing the crowd for the first time.
And the live show's on till Saturday. The DVD's out now. People, I assume, if they can't find it on Amazon, can go to BrendanBurns.com?
BrendanBurnsComedian.com.
BrendanBurnsComedian.com for all your Brendan Burns needs.
Or be Brendan Burns on Twitter. Or Brendan Burns on Twitter. I thought someone else had. This is a testament to how much of a mess I've been in the past. I kept on contacting Twitter going, there's this guy that's got my moniker. I can't seem to find it. He never posts, never anything. It turns out it was me. And forgot the password.
You're a fool to yourself, Brendan Burns.
A friend of mine set it up. I had a young person set it up for me, Dan.
That's what happens. We are... Oh, man, it's happening, isn't it? It's definitely happening. There's a ton more animals rising up news.
Oh, no.
What's going on? We covered this last week.
Wow.
I thought it was a blip.
No, it's really happening.
It's not a blip, it's a theme, it's a trend.
Yeah.
Well, now it's the birds, really. A South African town has become overrun by a colony of, get this, misfit penguins.
Whoa.
A bunch of misfits and oddballs.
Really?
Obviously, they're on the fringes of penguin society. They feel disenfranchised. And they're running riot and tormenting locals.
Oh,
now,
no.
Tormenting, that's an interesting word, because it doesn't mean they're just annoying them. It means there's some purpose behind torment, isn't there?
Yeah.
They're actively tormenting locals. So there's a place called Betty's Bay, and it's just become a stomping ground for a badly behaved group of penguins who've taken advantage of a broken fence. Sounds like we should fix it, doesn't it?
Sounds like
someone should fix it.
Cover the hole.
And it separates the penguins from the human residents. But now the penguins have got through the hole, and they're just taking over Betty's Bay, running riot and tormenting left, right and centre.
Really?
It's like the Mods versus the Rockers, isn't it? Brighton Beach.
What are they doing? Like graffitiing the walls and stuff?
Probably, yeah, just knocking things over. Chanting England, knocking over bins. Yeah. It's a group of penguins. They're also known, and get this, they're also known as jackass penguins.
Oh, right.
Because of their distinctive braying sounds, similar to a donkey. And they've commandeered nearby homeowners' gardens. And they've deprived people of sleep just by waddling around the garden. How long before it doesn't become cute anymore, do you think?
Yeah, I know.
Just a bunch of drunk penguins.
Oh, wow.
Going through bins, foraging for beers.
Strange behaviour.
They're rising up, aren't they?
They're becoming human.
They're rising up. Planet of the penguins.
Yeah.
We are... XFM.
Elizabeth, are you there?
Hi.
Hi, Elizabeth. What's going on with you right now?
not much, really. Not much. Just getting ready to leave the house.
Just getting ready to leave the house. So you're sort of at the doorway, keys in hand?
Yep, just about.
Well, forget about that for a moment. Forget about the world of work.
Let's instead concentrate on the world of Quizface. You should know the rules by now, Elizabeth. So let's get quizzical.
Quaos.
So, Elizabeth in Wimbledon. Today's Quizface, Elizabeth, is a format that I picked up at the Don Johnson Museum of Television Formats in Bangor, Maine. It's a small museum, you may be familiar with it, located just in an airport terminal. And I bought this format in the gift shop, Elizabeth, along with a pillow with a lighthouse on it and also a Twix. It's called Quaos. And the only rules to this quiz are... Well, there are no rules. I'm only joking, there are plenty of rules. Three's your lucky number, no vowels, Elizabeth. There'll be six boxes you can open, nine boxes you can't, one you may. Jokers are fine if played one by one, but a solo joker, Elizabeth, can only be played if played with a second joker. X marks the spot. Check your grid for details. It's your turn to start, Elizabeth. So, Matt, why don't you go first?
I choose a superlative.
Okay, Elizabeth, you're a bit premature there. You should know the rules by now. So, thank you, Matt. You chose a superlative. Elizabeth, can you answer just a very simple question for me?
Okay.
Well done. So, in this round, forget everything I've just told you, Elizabeth. It's time for round three. That round is known as Quaos. It's where the title of the format comes from. I know I told you earlier it wasn't really called Quaos and I was kidding that there were no rules. But there are no rules in Quaos. So, let's see how you do.
Quaos.
Okay, complete the well-known phrase.
No.
We are...
Fred, you failed. Oh, let's move on to round four then, please, caller. Shall we move on to round four, Elizabeth?
Yeah, go on.
Correct answer. So that was round four. Round five now. Matt, why don't you go first?
I choose a superlative.
Okay, I'll add that to your box. Let's just take a moment, Elizabeth, to thank our sponsors.
Ibstock Bricks.
The remember, Elizabeth, in the interests of fairness, and although Ibstock Bricks did pay outright for worldwide and exclusive advertising rights this week's quiz face, let's remember there are other bricks available.
Badgeries Bricks of Dudley, Bovenden Brickworks, Northcott Brick Limited, Hamill Bricks, Ashen and Glover Bricks and Brickworks.
Round six next. Are you ready, Elizabeth?
Yeah.
Correct. So round seven now, and it's the final question, first round. I'll ask you a final question. All you have to do is answer it first. Dave, let's make this tense. Bit more tension. That's it. So today's final question is... Elizabeth, today's final question is...
we are...
It's not really a question.
No, okay, I'll go again. Okay, Danny, can you complete the well-known phrase?
Mm-hmm.
We are...
XFM?
Yay! I did it!
I did it, Elizabeth. I'm off to see Passion Pit at the HMV Forum next Tuesday night. Thank you so much.
We are...
If you check your listener pads, just go back just a few weeks, just give you a moment to do that. And if you've alphabetized your listener pad, go to X for X Factor. And you'll remember, it should be there in your notes, that we had some consternation, didn't we? Some worry. Now, we've got no truck with the X Factor. We don't really talk about it that much. But it seems that they talk about us a lot more than we talk about them. Because a little while ago, we were very concerned to notice. And you noticed as well, you got in touch in your dozens and dozens and dozens about this, that X Factor clown Louis Walsh had nicked our catchphrases. That's what had happened there. That's what he'd done. Mm. So we've got various things that we say every single day here on the radio. And one of them, when we do good news, is obviously if there is really good news, we say that's not good news. That's great news. I wonder what Louis said.
Guys, it's not good news.
Oh, no. Wait for it.
It's great news.
Oh! Hey, I'm after you.
Totally after you.
How dare thee, sir?
Huh? It's a big joke to you, isn't it, Louis Walsh? It's a big joke to him.
And not only did Louis do it, but then blimmin' Nicole Scherzinger got involved. It's not just him either. It's Nicole Scherzinger.
James, it's not good news. It's freaking amazing news.
I despair. I despair. At least she put her own spin on it. Mm. At least that creative powerhouse was able to take the first half and smartly adapt it.
So you can imagine, that we're very, very careful now, aren't we, with what we say? I mean, you know, we're broadcasting this, we're putting these things out there, we're just trusting these catchphrase magpies not to swoop down and take another little diamond, aren't we? And then the other day, Matt revealed a little something about his dad.
Kenneth Herbert Dyson, he developed a strange catchphrase over the years, which is a high-pitched exclamation of, "What?" So me and my brothers, every time we speak to him, we go, "What?" That's how he reacts to everything, just, "What?" And that is his catchphrase.
So his catchphrase, you've used that, you said his catchphrase, yes, his catchphrase. Yeah? What happens this weekend? Well, confirmed listener Sinead got in touch to say, have you seen The X Factor? They're at it again.
Not again.
They're at it again.
No.
They've nicked Matt's dad's catchphrase. Here's Nicole Scherzinger one more time.
How did you feel about this weekend?
It was okay.
What?
Oh, what is she doing?
No.
She's taken...
No.
Here's Matt again.
What?
Here's Nicole.
What?
Here's Matt. Oh,
what?
Here's Nicole.
What?
Here's Matt.
What?
Here's Nicole.
What?
Stop it, X Factor clowns.
Yeah.
Matt, how do you feel about this?
I'm disgusted. She should at least pay some money to my dad for if she's going to use this catchphrase.
It's always about the money with you, isn't it?
Nearly, nearly.
What about the? We're doing this show for people. We're putting it out there. You just want Big Bucks Dyson, Daddy Warbucks. We call you. Honestly, Nicole, Louis, it's a compliment. We're flattered, but just stop it.
XFM
Quiz Face.
I am confirmed listener Elizabeth, and I'm only about 40% sure what happened there. There was something about a box. Anyway, okay, bye.
We are XFM.
I said she was coming on. I've lived up to my word. This woman's here.
It's a lovely thing to get used to in a job when somebody says your name and people clap and cheer. It's really nice. It was a bit weird at the doctor's the other day. Because no one clapped. Every time I said clap, I think they thought that's what I had.
We clap on Sarah Milliken, she's here.
Sarah. You beeped me out, that's awesome. I've been beeped out.
You've been beeped out, you filthmonger.
I know, sorry. That must have been one of the very few clean clips you could find.
there's a little bit of swearing on there, but it's done with such charm, delivered with such charm, Sarah Milliken. You can
exactly.
Get away with it.
In a sing-songy voice.
Exactly, no, absolutely. It's the brand new DVD, of course, thoroughly modern Milliken, comes out today.
I know.
It's great. And also, yes, I mean, there's a bit of swearing, but that's fine, isn't it, in this day and age?
Well, yeah, I mean, we're all adults. Handle it,
can't we? Yeah, exactly. Apart from Caitlin, who's listening at the moment, whose 10th birthday it is, Sarah would like to apologise for that.
Would she?
No, she wouldn't. In your face, Caitlin, it's your birthday. Deal with it. It's a huge venue this was recorded at.
Yes, it was at the Hammersmith Apollo.
Big old venue.
Which is terrifying.
3,500
people?
Yeah,
3,500 people all staring at you. Scary. Well, they were laughing as well. They weren't just staring.
No, that would be
bad if they were just staring, wouldn't it?
Be an awful DVD, wouldn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
But when you walk out there, what's it like? I mean, you do all these massive venues, not just in Britain, but around the world as well. And you look up there and you can, I mean, it must just be people stretching back forever.
Yeah, it just seems like they don't really stop. They just keep... But there was one of the shows that we did, it wasn't the DVD recording, but one of the shows we did there, somebody shouted out, "We love you!" And it was so sweet. It just diffused any kind of tension, but then I had to explain to them that I didn't really know them, so I just liked them a lot. And it was really uncomfortable for a while.
I imagine that's a problem that you must come up with quite a lot, because you're such a warm and friendly person on stage and off, that people must feel that they know you, they're friends with you. If they bump into you in the supermarket, they must feel that there's already a dialogue there.
Yeah, but it's nice. It's nice that it's never negative. You know, it's always really, really pleasant. I do sometimes get a hand on my bum.
I'm sorry, what? Yeah. What do you mean you get a hand?
Well, when people pose for a photograph, sometimes their hands want.
No! Yeah. Sarah!
So that's a bit familiar, isn't it?
It's a little too familiar. Yeah. What do you do in a situation like that when a stranger's hand is on your bosom?
Just tense my muscles so that
really?
They realise in a really quiet way that this is not happening.
I see, okay.
And then they release and it's fine.
But they might just be thinking, she's been working out.
yeah, she's got firm. Good cheeks.
What's going on there? Exactly. And what a great few years it's been.
Yeah.
So like an extraordinarily fantastic success story as well. And was it your last DVD as well that became one of the best-selling DVDs of all time from a...
Yes, it was. The best-selling.
The best-selling.
From a lady.
From a female comedian.
Yes.
Which is an extraordinary thing. I remember seeing a tweet, I think, when you'd found that out, and you were a little emotional on a train.
I was crying on a train.
I don't mean drunk. It's not a euphemism for drunk. I'm not saying you were drunk on a train.
I was after that. But no, I was crying on a train. That's why Twitter's great, though, because otherwise you're just alone. But you're not alone when you have Twitter.
No, absolutely. Just crying on your own on a train wouldn't be...
Yeah. Wait, instead of... You know, otherwise I had, you know, hundreds of thousands of people going, oh my God, she's pathetic. She's right on the train, which is better than being alone.
Yeah, well, absolutely. But what?
Ridicule from strangers is always better than being alone.
Yes. But all these great kind of, this kind of career landmarks that you're doing and your own show and everything like that. And and even your performance on, was it So Graham Norton?
Yes.
And who was it you were with? Was it like Kanye West or someone?
Oh, P. Diddy.
That's P. Diddy.
Vince Vaughn.
Vince Vaughn. Yes. And there you are in the middle, telling your stories. I think it went out in Australia last night, didn't it? Or something.
Oh, did it? Because I think the most recent one just went out. I was on Friday again.
Ah,
and
I
that
see.
Went out in Australia. But that was the first time I was on was the one with P. Diddy.
With P. Diddy. And what's it like, you know, going to a show like that and then knowing... When did you find out who else was on the guest list and how did you feel?
When I watched it the week before and at the end of the show he said, and on next week. And I thought, well, I know what one of them,
yeah.
But two of them, yeah, it feels ridiculous, like, why am I there in amongst those two huge stars, though?
No, it's great, you charmed them, I mean, in an extraordinary way, didn't you?
Yeah, well, I don't think they were expecting it. I think I took them a little bit by surprise, but it was very sweet, it was really nice, because you could see how they clearly were, I don't know who this is, and then by the end they were like, okay, well, I still don't know who she is, but we like her.
Yeah, there's a moment where they properly relax and just listen to you, which is great. Did they have any trouble with your accent?
I don't know. I don't care. I'm not really bothered. If the audience are laughing and Graham's laughing, I'm fine.
then you're happy, absolutely. Well, the new DVD, Thoroughly Modern Millican, is it? So you've been doing this on tour. Obviously, it was a tour.
Yes, the tour's just finished.
Because
I can't
finished.
Have a DVD at the same time as I'm touring, because I have a horrible thing that people would be mouthing along while they're in the audience, and that would be terrifying.
Like sort of comedy karaoke?
Yeah, yes.
A marvellous
exactly.
thing. XFM. If you are a regular listener, confirmed listener, then you will know that this is a show that cares, isn't it, Matthew?
Mm, yeah.
Cares. And I've been concerned these past few days. Full of concern, haven't I? When I arrived here Monday and I saw kind of a dozen or so Twilight fans.
Yes.
Camped out in Leicester Square, literally camped out on a very cold morning. Mm. They'd been there since Sunday, waiting for someone that hasn't even happened yet. Tonight is the UK premiere of Twilight. It happens here at Leicester Square. And these people who've been there since Sunday have been joined by dozens and dozens and dozens more every single day. And now there are what? I don't know, hundreds out there.
Apparently there are hundreds, yeah.
Hundreds of Twilight fans waiting for tonight. And they've been kettled in a very friendly way, haven't they?
By
the authorities who moved them.
Strange.
Being moved from cage to cage. They are sort of caged, aren't they?
So we should goad them in their cage.
No. Absolutely not. Yeah, flip that, reverse it. We should help, because there are some people out there with high-vis jackets on. I suppose they're there to protect and serve and look after safety and things like that. But there aren't as many as perhaps there should be, because there are more and more Twilight fans sort of joining every minute that passes. So we're taking care of it. Work experience Steve, are you there?
Hello.
Hi, Steve. Describe the scene down there, please.
It's madness.
Is it?
There's literally hundreds of people.
Hundreds of them. Describe some of them to me, please.
Well, they're all wrapped up warm.
Yeah.
They've got, many of them are in their pyjamas.
I could see a couple of people literally in pyjamas, but with Uggs.
Yeah,
so you'd think if you can plan to go to a premiere 4 days in advance, you can plan what you're going to wear, surely.
Yeah, I know.
What's the general vibe down there? Is it mayhem? Is it calm?
I would say it's just utter excitement.
It's just excitement. Well, that's when accidents can happen, isn't it?
Exactly.
Which is why I've sent you down there. I gave you a few things to just read out. Could you just make sure, can they hear you there? I mean, you're quite close to them.
Yeah, they can hear me. Can you guys hear me?
Okay, Steve, this is going to be good. Why don't you just start the safety briefing, please?
Okay, guys, I just need to give you a quick safety briefing, okay? So, can you please make sure that any pencils you have got lids on them?
Good.
Okay? Any pencils? You should be constantly moving your toes.
Constantly.
Right, is everyone moving their toes? Okay, brilliant. Can you make sure you have a cue buddy? All right, learn their names. Everyone got a cue buddy? Right, okay, brilliant, brilliant, okay. And take the time to remember their face, please. It's very important.
Take the time to remember their face.
And this is the most important one. Do not drink any fluids in case they have been poisoned by your enemies.
Good. Okay. Can you also, Steve, can you just repeat, whomever of you is the tallest?
Okay, whomever of you is the tallest...
You are now the agreed meeting point.
You are now the agreed meeting point, so, you, madam.
Whomever of you is shortest, Steve.
And also, whomever of you is the shortest...
You will now serve as a footstool.
You will now serve as a footstool, so who's the... So that's you there.
Tell them, no ball games.
There'll be no ball games, okay?
Except Quidditch.
Except Quidditch.
Or whatever the Twilight alternative is.
Or whatever the Twilight alternative is.
And finally, Steve, this one loud and proud if you can. We will begin this morning with...
Sorry, guys. We will begin this morning with...
A fight to the death.
A fight to the death.
Begin. Okay?
Begin.
Excellent work. I'll keep you updated as to what happens there. There can be only one. Oh, man, is that them fighting in the background?
They've got out of control.
Uh-oh. Get to safety. We are... Fox. A fox has made off with a bag of shopping after robbing a woman. It's still going on. The animals are rising up.
Not Dr. Fox.
Not Dr. Fox. No. Not toddler-sized DJ Dr. Fox. An actual fox. It sniffed the lady's grocery bag and then started walking after her sinisterly. She used her handbag to try and shoo it away. And she looked round, just jumped up, grabbed the food and ran off. Wow. And this is the second time this exact type of story has been read out here on the important broadcast.
Yeah.
Well, the last time, didn't the council say you should carry a water pistol with you to fend off foxes? Is it that much of a problem that you have to carry a water pistol with you? So does that happen? And a lady bought a fake iPad at a garage. She was tricked by a gentleman who said, this is a real iPad. And she paid him 125 quid for the iPad.
Oh,
I mean, never buy an iPad off someone on a garage forecourt.
No.
Goodness sakes. And after she left the scene, she opened it. She didn't even open it. And she found it was simply a mirror with a photo of an iPad stuck on the front. £125 well spent there, everybody. XFM. We're greatly enjoying the company. The Queen of Comedy, not my words, the words of the British Comedy Awards, is Sarah Millican.
Yay, hello.
Hello.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming in, Sarah.
No, thanks for having us. I really enjoyed myself.
We've covered a lot of ground, mainly off-air. Anti-cold tips, gingerbread, all sorts. Now we're on air, so now we'll talk about the important stuff.
Go on then,
including the brand new DVD, Thoroughly Modern Millican, comes out today. We were trying to come up with new ways of using your name.
There aren't many. I've tried, so Who Wants to Be Millican A?
Very good.
Dairy Millican.
Dairy Millican.
Waiting to be sponsored. And and Yes, I'm Millican.
I'm Millican. Dave, you're always good with these things. Surely you've got something. Delve deep into the pun archive.
It seems like all the good ones have gone. This is kind of on the spot. I need at least a couple of minutes usually.
I'm going
to
give you...
Will you come back to me towards the end of this part?
I'm going to give you till 8:55 to come up with at least two more, all right? Start writing.
This is awesome.
Oh, it's as it happens. So that's happening. And also you've been filming, is it series two?
Yes, series two
of the Sarah Millican...
We've recorded three episodes and we've got four to do because it's six episodes in a Christmas special.
Special.
Yeah.
When you start getting Christmas specials, that must feel quite good when they say, and we'd like a Christmas special.
Yeah, it's astonishing.
Because then you're part of people's lives in a proper way, aren't you?
Because I always think telly is such a huge part of Christmas, and you always look for the Christmas specials in your Radio Times.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I can't wait. So we're recording that one this week, actually.
This week?
Yeah.
How are you going to get into the Christmas spirit?
Oh, I'm always in the Christmas spirit.
Are you?
Yeah.
You say that, but you just rebuffed the gingerbread latte that we bought you.
Because it's got coffee
Scrooge.
In it. I don't drink coffee. Don't call me Scrooge.
You're a massive Scrooge.
I'll give you the £4 or whatever it is.
Well, she's changed. She thinks these lattes are £4. Success.
More than £4.
Success.
That's ridiculous.
So the Sarah Millican television programme, and you have guests on it. Who have you had?
I'm not going to tell you who we've
really?
Had. I know. I'm not going to spoil it. We've had some... absolute corkers though.
Really?
We've got some more booked in. Yeah, it's good.
What about last series, the first series? Give us a hint.
My favourite one was probably Paul Hollywood.
From the Great British Bake Off.
Yes.
Are you a Bake Off fan?
I am. I'm a massive bit. I can't cook at all, but I like watching other people do it.
I see.
It's weird, isn't it?
It's not weird.
When I said it out loud, it sounded really weird. Like,
like watching other people do it.
Yeah, then it sounded a little bit, it did sound a little bit odd at that point. Yeah. And a new tour as well next year.
Yes, it's on sale now. It starts in September next year. Hornbird. So we decided to abandon the whole pun situation.
Well, I was going to say, why not Dairy Milliken? You've got 30 seconds, by the way, Dave. How you doing?
Right, I'm ready to go.
You're ready to rock?
You just cross me when you need to.
Okay, I'm gonna give you some post-its. I'm throwing at Sarah there, so you can write these down if these will be any good. Paul in Enfield's just written in, just saying, how about Spike Milliken?
Oh, that's a different person.
Different person.
Let's see if I'm trying.
Yeah. Dave, your pitch for Sarah Milliken.
Well, let me just scribble out that one. The other ones I also have. What about Can't Get Sarah Than That? As in Sarah.
You went
Sarah.
A different way.
Yeah.
You flipped it.
Yeah, bad way. You went a different way, as in it's not good.
You've regressed.
I'm not going to write that down. What
you've
am
regressed.
I supposed to post it?
I've got one more.
One more, okay. Build
what
up
about,
to it.
What about Your Millie Country Needs You?
There's a hazy area in there in the middle.
Also, it should really be Millie Can. The other way it sounds...
I thought you were good at this, Steve.
No, yeah. I'm not.
I'm so sorry, Sarah. I did think that would go better than it did.
You can have your post-its back. I haven't tarnished any of them.
That's absolutely fine. Hey, the brand new DVD comes out today. Thoroughly Modern Milliken. It's the live show. It's out. It's available. Go and get it. What's wrong with you? Sarah, thank you so much for joining
us
today.
Thanks for having us, kids.
Not at all. This is for you. Whenever I think of you, I just think of the Prodigy. So we thought, it's that kind of high-octane, angry comedy.
It's my theme.
Yeah, exactly.
We are... the greatest goddamn radio station on the planet.
XFM. Nadine Dorris, you know, MP Nadine Dorris. Mm. You know, she went off to the jungle to do I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here.
Yeah.
Didn't really tell anyone.
Yeah, no, bizarre. Or her constituents. She certainly didn't tell them, did she?
No, she didn't tell them. No, she didn't tell them. Well, she's just announced, I just looked up on the telly, she's just announced that she's going to be donating her MP salary to charity while she's on I'm a Celebrity. Not her show fee, though. Didn't say anything about her show fee. I think her show fee is going to be slightly bigger, isn't it? Than
probably, yeah.
Than the 8 or 9 days she's likely to be in the jungle. So well done. What a sacrifice. The world's first toilet theme park. It's proving a huge hit with tourists in South Korea. It's called the Restroom Cultural Park. Always in there. In South Korea and North Korea as well. Things just sound a lot more formal, don't they?
Right.
I don't know what we call it over here, but over there it's the Restroom Cultural Park. It's in a city called Suwon. You can learn fun facts about toilets. There's a toilet-themed art gallery.
Whoa.
It's all built in memory of the city's former mayor. That's what you would have wanted, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm sure it would.
Most people get a massive statue or maybe some kind of wonderful park to walk around, sort of cherry blossoms or whatever. No. The toilet museum.
So, has it got rides in it?
I think it does have the odd ride or two. It's in honour of this guy, Sim J. Duck, who was affectionately known as Mr. Toilet. Mm-hmm. They missed a trick there, haven't they?
Yeah, I know.
Toilet Duck.
Yeah, it's
come on.
Duck.
So, Mr. J. Duck had a passion for toilets.
Right.
And spent his life campaigning for better toilets. There's a difference, isn't there, between campaigning for quality sanitation and having a passion for toilets. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's like a fundamental human right.
Yeah.
And there's people misunderstanding it and going, he just seemed to really like toilets. He's always talking about toilets. He was reportedly born in his grandmother's toilet. And even, that's weird.
Yeah.
Weird. What does his grandmother have to do with it? You'd assume it would be his mum.
Yeah.
Be more involved. Anyway, he even built a toilet-shaped house to live in. All right, now I'm starting to see the passion for toilets here. And that's since been turned into a museum in the theme park. This guy loved toilets. I was wrong. I thought it was about human rights. No, he just loves toilets. What a wonderful theme park. I mean,
a lovely theme park.
Would you want that as your kind of legacy?
I wouldn't want to go on the log flume there. I'll tell you that much.
Please don't bring the tone down. Please don't bring the tone down. How long have you been, I was going to say, sitting on that? We'll move on.
XFM.
Hey, so Dave rocked up this morning wearing a winter jumper, and it caused some controversy and consternation in the studio. It was like, well, that's the first sign, isn't it, of winter?
Yeah.
When your colleagues start turning up in jumpers like that. We've taken a picture of it, facebook.com/XFM Breakfast Show. You can see the jumper.
It's on there.
Judge it for yourselves. But I think that this heralds the beginning now of winter. I was outside earlier, it's freezing. November's just kicked in. That's it now, isn't it? That's it. It's just a downward spiral.
Yeah, it's
just a freezing toes. I can't wear my Converse for much longer, can I?
No.
Gonna have to have got holes in them. Gonna have to wear boots, things like that. The winter wardrobe's gonna have to be cracked out. And that, of course, means as we walk around London, we're gonna have to tolerate other people's idea of winter wardrobes. Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
Kind of the winter Uggs, that kind of thing.
Oh,
on gentlemen as well, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Eccentric gloves, that sort of thing. In terms of winter faux pas, you seem to embrace the winter jumper, Dave, but is there anything that you think shouldn't be allowed?
Yeah, I've embraced it. This is the first year I have embraced it.
Is
and
it?
My lord, do I feel good about
you
it.
You feel good about it, yeah.
Yeah, so I actually find it now quite hard to mock other people who are willing to try new things.
Really?
But I did see a woman on the bus this morning with ridiculous earmuffs.
Oh, the earmuff elements.
Yeah, that were just a little bit OTT. They nearly covered her whole head.
What?
Just because they were so big.
It's a head muff. You're thinking of a balaclava.
it was just for the ears, but the size of them was ridiculous. But obviously, I can't judge because I'm wearing a silly winter jumper.
Yes, and headphones. So
yeah.
You look a lot like that woman,
aren't
you?
Yeah, you do.
Matthew, in terms of winter faux pas, fashion faux pas, what's going on?
The CNA-style ski jacket. I don't know if rodeo.
Rodeo even exists anymore.
Remember I don't know.
Them? Mine was Campri.
Oh, right. Yeah,
where
have
they
gone?
Yeah, like, not Campari.
No, Capri.
You think my parents dressed me in promotional material for alcoholic beverages?
Yeah, Capri. Caprini, was it, or something?
Why are you trying to make it more Italian?
I can't remember.
He's like, oh, well, it can't be. It must be Campari or Caprini.
Anyway,
I bought it from a shop called Justin, just off Loughborough Market.
Well, it's the CNA star one that I just
It was reversible, and you could take the sleeves off.
Wow. Yeah. You still see them, though. Affluent, middle-aged people who go to the slopes of a winter. Mm. It's not acceptable to wear this garish get-up on your return to these shores.
I agree with you.
As far as I'm concerned.
I agree with you. I back you up. And mine is really aimed at the lady or the gentleman on the tube, you know. They're on the tube, and you just want to go, look, every time you look left or right, those two sort of furry baubles that you've got swinging from the end of your weird panda hat just fly about. What are they, yeah. What are they for, the baubles?
Yeah.
They serve no discernible... I've seen pandas... And yeah, at least half of them have furry baubles, but not hanging from their ears, okay? Your hat is anatomically incorrect. It promotes an unusual and disturbing picture of pandai. And I know that they've been waiting all year to crack out the panda hat, yeah? But just snip the baubles off. That's what I would say.
I agree. Maybe it's for balance or something.
Maybe it is for balance. Yeah. Mind you, probably don't snip the baubles off. That is why pandas are so rare. We are... Good morning, you're with the XFM Breakfast Show with me, Danny Wallace. And, you know, we punch above our weight when it comes to guests on this important broadcast. We really do. Now, we would like to welcome a true legend of British comedy. In many ways, he spearheaded the alternative comedy revolution. It was a revolution. Outstanding sitcom work from The Young Ones to Blackadder. He's a stand-up, a novelist as well. The man from Auntie, about to release another book. It's out tomorrow. Catford's finest son, Benjamin Charles Elton. How are you?
I'm very well indeed. And a suitably dignified introduction, I appreciate it. As I reach venerable middle age, I like a bit of respect from the youth.
Well, you should, and you should get that. Yeah, absolutely. Thank God. I don't like the way you said I include you in that, as if I'm not a member of the nation's youth.
I just thought I saw a little fear at the back of your eyes here, thinking, do I still count? That's all.
Yeah, no, well, it's happening more and more, Ben. People are referring to me as old. I turned 36 in a couple of weeks. I've never felt so old. Well, I've never been so old.
We exactly.
Technically.
Well, none of us have never been so old as we are now, so yeah. We're in good company.
Well, I was going to say, absolutely, because you've published so many books, ostensibly comic novels. I suppose this being something so close to your heart and something that's a story that really deserves a lot of attention as well, that would be why it's taken you until now to tell this story.
I guess so. I've got a fairly sort of restless imagination. I'm always wanting to do something. Although, when I don't have an idea, I don't do it. I spend a lot of time cooking and having fun with my family. I mean, I've already done the Christmas mincemeat.
Really?
You know, I've got that already.
This sounds slightly defensive, as if your wife has been saying to you, you're always working.
And no,
you've got
defensive.
This excuse trotted out. I've done the Christmas meats already.
I do like to point out, I know I write a lot, but I hope that doesn't indicate that I take it lightly and don't focus, or that I'm obsessed with it, because I'm not. But this book was not an obsession, because I don't think I am obsessed, but it was a passion. And so, yes, unlike most of my books, where I'm struck by an idea that moves me and I must get it down, and often it's a circumstance from what's happening in society, like my last
book. They're very contemporary, you know, like
Meltdown, I watch X Factor, I think, my God, how many levels of deceit am I watching in this one programme? And I'm
I like that, because most people would write a tweet. You know, 140 characters, it's out of their system. You sit down and write a book.
Well, I mean, things intrigue me. I mean, the X Factor book, Chart Throb, and the Big Brother book, Dead Famous. Yeah. You know, I'm quite proud of, I think I was about 5 minutes ahead of the curve. I think I spotted certain things about the way modern broadcasting was going, the so-called reality world, just about a minute before everybody else. Well, not everybody. I know that certainly Simon Cowell said to me, how did you work it out? Have you got a spy? Really? He rang me. I didn't know him at all. I think I met him once briefly at a party or something. But he, out of the blue, when Chart Throb came out, he got my number and he rang and he said, Ben, how did you do it? How did you work it out? I said, oh my God, what? Don't you hate me? He said, I love it. He said, I'm the nicest of the judges. I didn't think he was. I actually think it shows great credit because Chart Throb was a really massively satirical, deep dissection of the fiction of the reality of reality TV. Exactly, and he said, it's all true. You know, we do shift seats on the planes to pretend it's day two and we're flying to Birmingham or whatever. and how did you work it out? I said, I just watched the show and I mean, it's obvious. And he to his great credit, he said, I love it. I think it's great. And it shows that he can take it as well as hand it out.
I was going to say as well, one thing I think has been hugely unfair is, like, I was listening to a Desert Island disc that you did from a few years back.
Well, it's a few,
and,
I think, yeah.
Yeah, and I like going back to those archives and finding out more about people that, you know, that fascinate me. And in it, you touched upon it, and the idea that someone like you, who has done so much for British comedy and has put out such a huge kind of swathe of great work, right the way from, you know, the Blackadder, the Young Ones, I think there has been a sense that you've been unfairly maligned at points. And I suppose that's a double-edged sword, because it's people like Toby Young who are so often wrong about everything that it's kind of a compliment as well.
I don't know. Look, years and years of it. I think, look, if you start off, as I did in the early and mid-80s, it was extremely divisive times. I knew exactly what I thought. I felt that Thatcher's dislocation of society was too brutal, too quick. There were issues to answer, but the way it was done left far too much misery in its wake. And I was on TV live as a stand-up, and I said what I thought. That's obviously going to end up, your first impression is going to live with you forever, no matter what you do. At the time, I was writing Blackadder as well, not a Thatch gag in it.
Yeah.
It is what it is. I don't blame anyone else for their lifestyle. Sometimes on the net, the odd person tries to blame me for what they think they understand about me. They don't know me. Hey, look, it doesn't,
exactly.
It
look,
doesn't
you could
matter.
Be, you could be
move
resting
on.
You could be resting on your laurels.
Who is
absolutely.
Toby Young?
Toby Young, yeah. Excellent. That's the best response possible.
XFM. We are XFM.
Let's raise some taxes. So, like I always say, you know, there's people, don't you? Huh? There's people who do those things, and you hate the things that those people do. And you want to go up to those people and go, stop doing the thing you do. And they're like, no, man, it's my thing. It's what I do. I'm one of those people. And you're like, well, stop being those people. Or, give me £5. Yeah. You know that exact situation I've described very specifically there?
Mm.
Well, that's what this is all about. £5 flat fee fines. Minor misdemeanors that you can charge for. So, Matt, for example, what would you like to fine people £5 for?
Gosh, you doggone mobile phone operator. Stop texting me to tell me my new phone still hasn't arrived and you're sorry. I know it hasn't arrived because I haven't got it yet.
Yeah.
You said it would take a month, so don't worry about it. Do not continue with the same text once every 3 days. Oh. Hi, just to let you know, we haven't forgotten about your new phone. We'll be in touch soon to let you know when it's on its way. Thanks for your patience.
Yes.
Every 3 to 4 days.
Oh.
£5 per unnecessary text.
I hope you still get those texts when you've got your new phone.
I imagine I will.
More fools then, Matt. Yeah. Hey, person who walks into Starbucks or Nero or wherever and says, oh, I come here for the whiffy. I'm sorry. Sorry. Can you say that again, girl in the blue coat? Did you just pronounce Wi-Fi whiffy? Whiffy? Don't you ever call it whiffy. What world do you occupy where you find it in any way socially acceptable to pronounce Wi-Fi whiffy? It's not quirky. It's not charming. It's willfully eccentric, which is no type of eccentric at all. Go back to your flat full of Garfields and ring your friends on your Hello Kitty handset and talk about all the coinky dinks you had that day. £5, please, and a total whiffy ban.
Yes. So what are yours?
We are
XFM.
4 hours of hugely important broadcasting, but what have we learned today? Let's do this.
Babylon Analytics.
30 Matty Dyson, Matty Dyson, why don't you tell me what you think?
Sarah Millican.
Okay, well, first Sarah Millican turned down a festive coffee.
She did.
Dave turned up in a festive jumper. And festive fashion was the focus of a texter, with confirmed listener Stuart coming in with a late contender on the Breakfast Show Facebook page, saying two words, Danny, wolf fleece.
Wolf fleece.
Fleece with a wolf print on it.
Wonderful imagery. On this morning's important broadcast, this was Matt Dyson.
What?
This was Nicole Scherzinger.
What?
This was Matt Dyson.
What?
This was Nicole Scherzinger.
What?
This was Matt Dyson.
What?
This was Nicole Scherzinger.
What?
Spot the difference? We can't, but we can't beat it. So all we can do is fight like with like. Matt, I want you to grow your hair, launch a career singing sexually charged songs in your underwear, then seduce Lewis Hamilton. That'll show her. Off you go. I'm serious. He's going.
We are the greatest goddamn radio station. On the planet.
XFM.
So that was podcast 69 from the XFM Breakfast Show with me, Danny Wallace, featuring a Twilight safety briefing and finally our chance to put all those Prince Charles rumours to bed. The little joke about Bryan Adams, you enjoyed that, didn't you? You were listening there.
I love the Bryan Adams joke, yeah.
Don't forget, next week's podcast is podcast 70. Arrange a time to listen with your listening partner. Get your pads out. We'll see you then. Bye!
Yes, we are XFM.
Danny Wallace.